We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Seahawks Man to Man Podcast, powered by The Athletic. Shout out to the company. My name is Michael Sean Dugar. I'm here with my co-host, Christopher Kidd. Make sure you follow us both up on the tweet machine. You guys know where to follow me at. I'm verified. Just look for Dreads, Blue Check. You know what to do. Chris, talk to him.
What is up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Kidd. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at CKIDD206. And that's CKid206.
All right. As we prepare to just wipe the Giants game from our memory, we'll move on to Seattle's next New York opponent. They play the Jets this weekend in what is called the Jamal Adams revenge game. To preview Seahawks-Jets matchup, we have the homie, senior writer at For the Win at USA Today, Charles McDonald. Charles, what up, man? How you doing?
What's up? You know, it's amazing. My first full week, or my first week at USA Today after leaving the Daily News, and I'm right back talking about the Jets. But, they earned it this week with the spectacular display of just whatever mess that was on Sunday to lose the game against the Raiders on the very last play of the game. I'm sure we'll get into that, but you know, they just never cease to amaze you with how bad they can be throughout the season.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry we got to get you on here talking about the Jets. For you know what? Let's not even go Jets first, man. How is your PS5 search been going?
Well, you know, I can say this. I have one en route to my address. Like right now, I'm in my parents' place in Charlotte, just kind of hiding from coronavirus and chilling here for the holidays. So, yeah, I have some time off work, so I figured, let me see if I can just cop this PS5 with my little 2 weeks off of work before I started this week for the win. And I was like, wow, it's actually dumb hard to find the PS5. So I was like, yo, I was up at like 2 a.m. like trying to get these like Best Buy orders in. I was trying to order up sites that I never heard of, sites that look sketchy to even put my debit card information in. And every single time, like, I was striking out. Like, I striked out 5 or 6 times. I was about to quit. I was straight about to quit until like next year. And then this dude that we followed each other on Twitter for a while, he's actually a reseller, and he's a Falcons fan too. So a few years ago when the Falcons were on their little Super Bowl run, after they beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game, I happened to be passing through the Atlanta airport. So I grabbed a bunch of copies of the AJC that said, the Falcons are heading to the Super Bowl. We don't need to talk about what happened in that game because it's not important. But I grabbed a bunch of copies of the AJC and I mailed them out to people. And one of the dudes that I mailed them out to, he is like a sneaker and PS5 reseller. So he was like, yo, like I have a bunch of PS5s, and what you did for me that day still meant a lot, so I'll sell you one for retail price. So, you know, he sold me one for retail price, and it arrived at my parents' front door yesterday on Monday, and the dude, I made it so I had to sign to get it because I didn't want anyone to steal my thing or whatever, but I didn't realize that the doorbell was broken. So when they tried to, I know. When they tried to drop it off, jeez, I didn't know that they were there, and I checked to see, like, I checked on the tracking thing. I was like, damn, like, why isn't he here yet? And I saw that they had, like, literally just tried to deliver it. So I ran out the house. I ran out to the street to see if the FedEx dude was there, and he was not there. So I hopefully I'll be able to pick it up after we finish recording. And if not, I'm sure I will be huffing and puffing online once again, because at this point it's just kind of fun. But I do have one en route within like maybe 2 or 3 mile vicinity from my house. I just got to go find it and get it.
I don't want to get too carried away with video game talk, but why the PlayStation 5? And do you have a significant other?
Yeah, I do. I mean, but look, I'm home. I'm home, and I got nothing else to do. And I really was not even planning on getting it till next year. But then, like I said, I had a couple of weeks off of work, and I wanted to get it, and I did. But now I'm starting work again, so I don't even have much time to play it. So
the reason I asked if you had a significant other is because that's how I got my Xbox. Bae hooked it up. For my birthday in July, she said, do you want the PS5 or the Xbox? And I was like, baby, come on now. I've been rocking with Microsoft since 2000. Ain't nothing about to change now. Go ahead and get the Xbox. Yeah. And she got lucky. Go ahead.
I was about to say, the problem is I didn't want anything. Like, I wasn't pressed at all for gaming consoles, because I was like, I know it's about to distract the hell out of me during the season. So I didn't even put in a pre-order or anything. And by the time, like, I realized I was going to have all this free time on my hands, bro, it's so hard to get one, because you get on, like, Walmart, you get on GameStop, you get on Best Buy, you get on these sites, and these bots snatch it up, and, like, the PS5, like, it will be, there are multiple times I got it into my cart, and I was about to get checkout, and it was like, oh, the item is out of stock. I'm like, how is it out of stock? It was just in my cart. And then you go on StockX, and they're charging the, you get, like, the lesser version of PS5 on StockX for, like, $1,100, so, I just couldn't do that off principle, you know, but luckily, my man, Jose, hooked it up for me, and now I'm just waiting for it to get into my hands.
Shout out Jose, man.
It's funny, I said let's not talk about the Jets, and somehow Charles snuck the Falcons in there. I don't know how. I wondered where we were going with that. I was like, hopefully not getting into the Falcons, man. I don't want to relive that type of misery for you. It's not that bad for me, but you know, I'm glad.
Yeah, it's bad for me. Let's
move on there. We usually open every show with asking the opposing team beat writers just about what the team they cover is doing, whether it's voting initiatives or just racial injustice or partnering with grassroots organizations, just whatever, to spread the message over the last, like, I don't know, what, 11 months or 10 months of 2020 that were just a mess socially. You're covering the NFL kind of at large now, so we won't focus just on the Jets, but just what has the NFL done, or any NFL players or owners done in the last, like, 8 months that has felt like substantial to you in terms of social justice and racial justice?
I mean, am I allowed to say not that much? Like, I'm
yeah,
not,
man, it's all it's, whatever you want.
I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't really been moved by that much that I've seen so far. I mean, it was nice this summer to hear Roger Goodell finally say Black Lives Matter, and for the NFL to pledge however much money they did to those causes. But you know, I still think when you're a league like the NFL and you are filled with billionaires who run these teams, you could be doing a lot more than you want to. I mean, they're friendly with all these politicians. Like, if they were actually interested in pushing forth legislature that would actually affect maybe police violence in Black communities and minority communities, then that's something that they absolutely have the power to do. And they haven't really done that. You know, money is nice and money is going to help people get to certain places, but we all know that these guys are in the ears of people who can actually make real change. And I think we also know that their political leanings probably don't line up with people who want to make real change for Black and brown community. So I've been a little bit underwhelmed, or, you know, fairly underwhelmed by what the NFL has done versus what they could be doing. And, you know, I think it's cool. I think one cool thing was, this summer and, you know, early in the season especially, you start to see players find their voice and speak up. I mean, George Fant, who was previously with Seattle and is now starting at right tackle for the Jets, when I was still there at the Daily News during training camp, he had a press conference where, you know, he refused to answer anything except for questions about social and racial injustice, which was kind of awkward being the only Black reporter on staff, or not on staff, but like the only Black reporter that's like consistently covering the Jets. I was having like a one-on-one Zoom conference in front of 25 other people because everyone else was afraid to ask him a question. Like, somebody even tried to sneak in football questions, and he was like, nah, like, we're talking talking about Breonna Taylor because he's from Kentucky and how that affected him. And I was just having one-on-one with him for like 10 minutes in front of all these other people on a Zoom call, which was kind of awkward. But I'm not too surprising, I think, if you know these people that cover the teams.
Oh, yeah. No, not surprising at all. Glad you got that one-on-one. George is a good dude.
Yeah, he's cool. He's dope.
If I was to – let's put hypothetical hats on, everyone on the show here. If I was to – if I'm Roger Goodell now, I say Charles – you're in charge. We're going to give you a division. We'll call it our social justice NFL division. You're in charge. You got autonomy. Here's a PS5 for your troubles. how can we? What can we do? How can we make the country a better place using what we got?
Let's look and see where these NFL owners are donating their money during these political campaigns to see what those people stand for, and we can call them out on their crap because they are funding a lot of these people, whether it be Donald Trump or other people in the Senate or Congress, what have you. Let's see where their money is going, and let's put their feet to the fire and ask them, why are you giving your money to these people? Do you agree with their views on housing and zoning and police brutality and all this other stuff? And I think that if you were just able to get these people to actually sit down and answer some hard questions or explain some of the heinous things that they do, I think that would be a good first step if you had the actual power to do that. But they're billionaires and they don't answer to anybody, so it's tough.
No, yeah, it is. There you go. That was worth the PS5 for sure. Roger Goodell should do that. Let's get into some football stuff here. I call this Seahawks Jets game the Jamal Adams revenge game. It's also the George Fant revenge game. It's also the what's the other guy's name? The Brandon Shell. It's the Brandon Shell, revenge game and Bradley McDougal. There's a lot of revenge going on in here. Yeah, I didn't recognize all the Seahawks and Jets ties here, but we'll focus on Jamal real quick. I think we had you on actually after they did the trade. But what have you kind of thought of how the Seahawks have used Jamal since giving up the world to get him?
Yeah, I think they're both trying to figure it out. Honestly, the interesting thing to me is that, like, I don't think that the Seahawks have used him all that differently than the Jets did last year. And, you know, that to me has been kind of hard to figure out because the Jets' defense was, you know, as horrific as their offense was last year, they're pretty good on defense, especially in the run game. And Jamal was just, like, this playmaking blitzer who, you know, I mean, that's kind of his role in Seattle, too. But, like, you go back to that Giants game last year where he had, like, two sacks and, like, two forced fumbles and a touchdown or something like that. And you, like, you see the playmaking ability. And I think one thing that the Jets were able to figure out last year is kind of like how to get that skill set to fit in with the rest of the defense. And I think that, you know, that can be kind of hard to do on the fly, especially in a pandemic season. And I think that they're using Jamal how you're supposed to, because he's not someone maybe that you want just like patrolling deep in the, you know, in cover two or cover one playing deep. Like, you want him coming forward, and maybe, you know, that's a separate conversation about, like, do you trade two first-round picks for a player like that? Because what you have to do to make comes at a sacrifice to the rest of your defense. You know, I think that they're using how they're supposed to be, how he's supposed to use, but they haven't figured out how to get, like, the other 10 players to kind of work around with that. And I think maybe weirdly in a way for the Jets, it may have been a little bit easier because, you know, you don't have a Bobby Wagner or KJ Wright or these other guys in New York. You know, you can literally center the entire defense around Jamal and kind of figure out your fits off of that. So, you know, I think year two with Jamal in Seattle will probably be a little bit better, but I think if you're a Seahawks fan, you're probably a little bit disappointed that this hasn't, like, revolutionized your defense.
How crazy do you think Jamal plans on going this week against his former team?
Oh, come on. I mean, you saw what he had to say after the Giants game on Sunday. We were talking about, you know, being losing to a New York team kind of stings a little bit. And, I mean, he didn't even play for the Giants. So I would expect, like, peak Jamal Adams that you've seen this week in terms of, you know, what he's going to say to the media if they win. If they somehow, God forbid, lose this game, I doubt he's going to say much of anything. But, you know, I can imagine he's going to be chirping a bit on the sidelines. I imagine he's going to be chirping a lot at Adam Gase during the game, because I don't think that they had such a great relationship before he got traded. You know, it's going to be a fun. If you like the theatrics of sports and the gladiator aspect of the NFL, I think that Jamal going against the Jets is something you're going to be interested in watching.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Why was that relationship between Adam and Jamal so bad?
I mean, why is the relationship between Adam and every star player bad? Like, you couldn't get Le'Veon Bell to stay around. You go back to Miami with Jarvis Landry and some other players and couldn't get them to stick around. I think that Adam has a very specific way about how he wants to go about things, a very not productive way about how he wants to go about things, as we can see so far. But Adam's stuck in his ways, and Adam is very much you have to fit in with what I'm doing versus I'm going to try to make room for you and we can make this like a collaborative effort, which I think is why you see star players really not mesh with him. And then when you have someone like Le'Veon Bell who's outspoken, you have someone like Jamal who's outspoken, Jamal who literally went on the record and said that Adam Gase is not like a Super Bowl winning head coach. Like, you have these guys with big egos and guys who have earned those big egos based on how they perform in the league. Adam just doesn't seem to get along with him. I don't think that was anything specific about Jamal, more as it was about how Adam Gase has a history of like high profile players not really staying with him.
Let's stay on the theme of Jets coaches. Well, damn, he's former now. It sucks that Greg Williams is not in this game anymore. And okay, so let's give some background here. So Greg Williams is he said some dumb stuff, been a bad coach his whole career, whatever, right? So he has the all-out blitz that he calls against the Raiders this past Sunday, ends up costing the Jets probably their best chance at a win, to be honest, against a Raiders team that badly needed it. And I know one of the knee-jerk reactions from a lot of people were that, oh no, the Jets are tanking, right? Like, who in their right mind would call such a thing in that situation unless they were trying to get Trevor Lawrence? But Charles, I know you covered Greg Williams, and your reaction was like, yo, nah, he's just that bad.
I think that Greg is actually a pretty decent play caller on defense, but the thing with Greg is he's impulsive, man. Like, he's very impulsive. Like, at practice, at training camp, you hear the way he talks to the players, and honestly, a lot of the players liked him a lot. Like, I know, like, Jamal liked him. A lot of the other defensive players on the Jets like Greg Williams. I mean, a lot of guys saw him as the head coach of the team, to be honest with you, especially last year. But Greg's impulsive, man. Like, his whole thing is, we're going to blitz the hell out of you, and we're going to try to create big plays. And here's if I had to take a guess at the Greg's thought process in that minute was, if you go back to the play before the touchdown, they actually ran like a prevent defense, and Nelson Aguilar ran right up the seam, ran right past the safeties into the end zone. Derek Carr opened the room. Like, he was open. So Greg's thing is, the next play, if you think you're gonna get beat over the top, Greg is just gonna go hard the other way and say, we're gonna go all out blitz, we're gonna nuke the pocket, we're gonna get Derek Carr down and see if we can do it that way. Now, a level-headed person will probably go, let's just try that that prevent thing again and tell our safeties to back the hell up because there's like 10 seconds left. They have no timeouts. If they catch the ball inbounds somewhere in front of the end zone, the game is over and we win because they're going to have to run too far and they won't be able to get a spike off. Greg is saying, no, we are going to go hard the other way. Instead of 8 in coverage, we're going to have no safeties back. We're going to blitz everybody. And that's how you end up with, you know, fake Lamar Jackson, the rookie cornerback from Nebraska who was undrafted, ran like a 4.6 on Henry Ruggs, one of the fastest players in the NFL. Runs right past him. Derek Carr drops it right in the bucket. Pretty easy throw. And the game is over. I don't think that it was a tanking job because if you know one thing about Greg Williams, he's not going to tank. And I think one thing that people have to remember is these guys work hard, man. Like, the coaches work hard. The players work hard. Even on a bad team like the Jets, everyone's busting their ass. So no one wants the stain of 0-16 to be on their resume forever because that's something you could never get off. And Greg, he's about to be involved in two of them. I mean, the Jets kind of saved him because now he gets stuck at 0-12 instead of 0-16. Because if you guys remember, he was a defensive coordinator for that 0-16 Browns team in 2017. So there's no way that Greg Williams is thinking we're going to throw this game. And I think another thing you have to think is none of these guys are going to be here next year on the coaching staff. So why would they give a damn about next year's team? Like, they're auditioning for they're trying to audition for new jobs next year. So I think that, you know, Greg just kind of let that call get away from him. I don't know if you guys saw the thread from Mike Silver where he was tweeting about Adam Gase's reaction, where Adam Gase apparently heard Cover Zero over his headset and was like, oh my God. And the next thing he saw was Henry Ruggs running into the end zone to win the game. So, you know, there's a reason why they're 0-12, bro. Like, they're really bad. And it's decisions like that, and you have an undrafted rookie against a first-round pick, and that's what happens.
I'm sure you remember in early August, Greg Williams' comments about how the Seahawks might or might not use Jamal Adams, saying Jamal may get bored there because the Seahawks don't use their safety-type things and all the different complexities, maybe not showing what they're doing as much as we do. Looking back at those comments, how do you think Jamal has fared in Seattle's maybe boring defense?
I think Jamal is doing, especially in terms of like blitzing and pass rush, like, I think he's been excellent. The problem is, like, when you trade 2 first-round picks for someone like that, they also need to be just, like, absolutely dynamite in coverage, which, you know, even at his peak last year with the Jets, I'm not sure Jamal was that player. And, you know, some of it, I think he's been banged up and in and out of the lineup, but I think that, obviously, like, the way Jamal plays, like, it's not boring. I mean, he's going to get his fair share of chances to run across the line of scrimmage, which is where he's at best. But, you know, it's like you need a little bit more coverage presence if you're going to trade two first-round picks for a guy. Like, you know, the game against the Bills, I think, is a good example. You know, there's no reason if I trade that much draft capital for a player, I should never be sweating against him playing in coverage against any receiver. And I think Stephon Diggs is one of the best in the league. So, you know, that part still needs to change, but it's always fun to watch Jamal get up the field and bang heads and get sacks in the quarterback. Like, that style of play is going to be fun to watch.
You know, I've never really felt like I had anything in common with Greg Williams. Although hearing Charles talk about him, I actually think I do, because we probably play Madden the same way. Because I just
I tell you what, that mid blitz on Madden, I spam that all the time. We're going to line up 6 in the line of scrimmage. Everyone's coming. We're going to play man coverage, and we're just going to pray.
Yeah. But
hopefully you don't have a cornerback that runs a 4.58 or a 4.6 in that range.
I don't even know how a 4.6 cornerback makes the NFL in today's game. Jesus, let alone getting matched up on Henry Ruggs.
Like I said, the Jets are 0-12 for a reason.
I want to flip to the offensive side of the ball and the talent on the offense for the Jets. They have some. It's not as, I mean, every team in the NFL has talent, right? What is going on with Darnold? How has he not been able to connect with some of these guys? You look at Mims, a talented receiver out of Baylor. Where's the disconnect?
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I think, is because Sam missed some time again with that shoulder injury. And while Sam, you know, before Sam got hurt, Mims was hurt. Perryman was in and out of the lineup. Crowder was in and out of the lineup. And then Sam gets hurt, and all those guys get healthy. You see, you know, like, I think I agree with you. Like, you see that game that they had on Monday night against the Patriots where, you know, that's another game they probably could have won too. And Joe Flacco makes the best of what he can with those guys. And you see that they can actually make some plays. Like, Denzel Mims is going to be probably going to be the number one receiver next year. Like, he's very, very talented. You just don't really see guys his size that can move and cut like he does. Jameson Crowder is, you know, more than viable slot receiver, and Perryman, you know, when his hands aren't greased up, then he can make some big plays down the field too. So it just hasn't clicked for Sam for whatever reason. I mean, you have the injury, now he's trying to get back involved with these guys, and he's still working through the inaccuracies and some of like that Superman syndrome where he just thinks he needs to do whatever he can to make anything out of a play and doesn't know when to let a play die. Like, you see all those things kind of come together and it just turns ugly. I mean, before like the first drive on Sunday, he was about to hit like a streak of 150 pass attempts in a row without throwing a touchdown, which is really, really hard to do in today's NFL. Even if you don't have a bunch of like star talent at receiver, but like they have serviceable talent at receiver. They got one of the best left tackles in the NFL, Mekhi Becton. Their offensive line is, you know, not great, but like slightly below average. Like, there's enough there where you can not be the worst quarterback in the NFL statistically, at least. And you know, it sucks because I think Sam's a really nice guy, a really cool guy. I think that maybe in the right spot, he could end up being a viable starting quarterback, but this year has not gone well for him. And, you know, he kind of reminds me of like a discount version of Jay Cutler at this point, which is, you know, not very good.
Wow. And then what's the future for Sam Darnold? Is this going to be it? Are they going to figure out? I mean, he did just, what was it, 2018, got a little contract extension there. What's the future for Sam Darnold?
His time in New York is done. And I think everybody knows that. They're probably going to finish 0-16, 1-15, and have a shot at the first overall pick. And, you know, if you get that first pick, we all know it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. And, like, Trevor Lawrence now is probably a better player than Darnold is now. So I don't even think that that's a question for you. That it's just kind of, where is Darnold playing in 2021? And, you know, I think it's probably going to end up being a team that has a veteran quarterback where he can just kind of sit for a year, get this all figured out, because it's kind of a mess for him right now. And I think, you know, some teams that, you know, you've heard hear rumblings about with Darnold, Indianapolis is one, Pittsburgh, Chicago could be a dark horse team if they just are like, you know, let's see if we can get some more talent here to compete with Nick Foles next season, because, you know, Trubisky is all but done in Chicago. So, you know, I think the best situation for him is probably a team like Indianapolis or Pittsburgh, where he can sit behind a veteran quarterback for a year, or if he needs to play right away, maybe even San Francisco could take a swing on him if they kind of strike out all their other quarterback options. But Sam's on the move, and I honestly think it's best for both parties. You know, just let him get a fresh chance. You guys get to start over with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, and you get to keep this thing moving. But I think an interesting thing about Sam is, like, he's still, even though this is year three, like, he's still one of the youngest quarterbacks in the NFL. He's younger than Lamar Jackson. He's younger than Joe Burrow. You know, there's still time for him to figure this out, but it's not going to be with the Jets.
Yeah, he just needs to stop seeing ghosts. That would probably be a good, that'd be a good start, I think, is to just see your teammates, brother, and just throw it to them, you know, avoid the ghosts. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. I don't really watch a ton of Clemson, but I mean, I'm not stupid. I got internet and TV, so like I see all the hype. Is as good as Trevor's supposed to be, is that enough to turn around a team that's had the quarterback luck? Unluck, I guess, is probably the better way to put it, that the Jets have had.
I think it can be with the right play caller. And to be honest, like, I think Sam could have worked that in New York, but that Gase hire was like the almost opposite direction where you need to go. And this hire is going to be pivotal for them. But you got some pieces, man. Like, you got Mims, who can be a number one receiver, who has the talent to be a number one receiver. You have Crowder, like I said, who can be in the slot. Mekhi Becton is just an absolute freak at left tackle. And you're also going to have, like, $80 million in cap space to go fix the offensive line and maybe add another receiver if you want to. Like, there's going to be options of free agency at both spots, offensive line and receiver. Like, if you have a productive offseason and then you draft Trevor Lawrence, like, you can be right back in it. And I know that, you know, it's the Jets, and they're cursed, and everything seems to go poorly for them. But I really do think they have some really nice pieces in place on offense for someone else can just take this to the next level. Like, if I don't know how much of Mekhi Becton you guys have watched, but like, this guy is incredible. I think that maybe in the next year or two, he probably will be the best left tackle in the league. Just when you look at the size, power, the athleticism, I mean, no one's getting past him. And like I said, Mims, Crowder, Perryman, Berrios, like even that's like a little fourth receiver. There's talent there. It's just you got to have the right quarterback, and you got to have someone better pulling the strings in case.
You know, I've been talking to people just like in passing about the attractiveness of some of these jobs that are open. The Lions job's open now. Let's see, Falcons, Lions, Houston, Jets. Maybe that Chargers job will be open this offseason too. I would stay away from a lot of those because of the people running the team, the owners and stuff. For all like,
right,
it's bad. It's bad in a lot of those places. That Jacksonville, I think, is there a job open? It'll probably be.
They'll probably open.
Yeah. How attractive is the Jets job between the assets that they have in terms of picks? Some of them from Seattle, the prospect of Trevor Lawrence, the money they have, the pieces they already have. Like if you're like a Robert Saleh or something, and the Jets call, do you answer the phone?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, I think you do, just because it's just such a rare opportunity where you can step in with a new rookie quarterback who like is as talented as Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields with all the money in the world to shape this roster how you want to. Like that alone is appealing. And look, the ownership concerns with the Jets are like very valid. Like there's a reason why year after year after year after year, no matter who the head coach is, no matter who the quarterback is, there's a reason why it's always somewhat of a circus. But it's like you're getting the keys to a Madden franchise. You can do whatever you want. I mean, it really is, like, the amount of assets they have really is that appealing. Like, you're going to have, you know, $80 million worth of cap space in a year where a bunch of teams are losing cap. Like, you have an advantage on the market just because you can say, we can offer you more money than the other guys can. Oh, and we're going to have Trevor Lawrence coming in a couple months. Like, that is an incredibly powerful, like, free agency pitch for guys. I think that the Jets job is, like, really, really appealing. You know, even with the ownership concerns involved, it's just so many assets. Like, you look at the first overall pick, most likely, you're going to have the Seahawks picks from the Jamal Adams trade. You're going to have a couple more picks, like, in the mid-round, some other moves that they've made. I mean, you can get, if you nail this upcoming draft and free agency period, I'm not saying you make it to the playoffs next season because you're still going to have some growing pains to work through, but you can be like a legitimately exciting team if you play your cards right.
I would say last season the Jets were that legitimate exciting team because they finished 7-9. What happened between last season and this season? Is it really the factors of losing Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams, or what do you think the case might have been?
Well, honestly, what I would tell you is that Jets team at 7-9 way overachieved. I don't think they were a good football team at all. Like the defense was pretty good, but the offense was one of the worst in the league. And I know that no one remembers this because why would anybody remember this? But that week 17 game to get to 7-9, they were playing the Bills like third stringers because the Bills had a playoff spot locked in. And they almost lost. they were not good. I know, like, if you look at some of the more advanced metrics, that show you like how many, based on your performance, like you'd be expected to win this many games. They're expected to win like 3 games last year, and they end up winning 7. So, you know, I think that they're kind of underachieving this year with the 0-12 because when I look at this team, like they're not as bad to me as like that Detroit Lions team that went 0-16, or even like that Browns team. Like they have some pieces. It's just it's been so poorly mismanaged that they find themselves here, and you know, I don't think that they can get their crap together fast enough to win this thing out. But you know, what I was telling people prior to the season was that, you know, that 7-9 record, that was fake. Like that was way overachievement. I would expect them to kind of be in a rebuilding year this year. But look, I didn't expect it to be this bad. Like I thought maybe they could sneak out a couple wins, but this is just a disgrace.
You know, it's actually really impressive they managed to even get to 7 when they played our boy Luke Falk from Wazoo. We're both Wazoo grads. They played him for what? He played in the Monday night game, I think, and then what, started 2 games after that and was just god awful. And they still got 7 wins.
It was bad.
No, I mean I like Luke. Great, he did great things at Wazoo, but like he was like the fact that he went from what, practice squad to starting.
Was,
I mean, he was barely any better than what's the dude from the Broncos that just had to play quarterback?
Kendall Hinton.
Yes. Yeah. Like he.
Yo, Godspeed to him, bro. Because I was gonna make fun of him at first, but then I was like, man, what an impossible spot to be put in. Like, you got stuck. Like the day before the game, they're like, oh, hey, bro, you were playing quarterback actually against one of the best defenses in the league. So to even complete one quarterback, I'm giving him props.
Yeah, no, I tuned in. Chris, did you watch that game?
No, absolutely not. Because I knew it was gonna happen. I saw the highlights and it was just as bad as I pictured it.
Yeah, I was probably like Charles. Like I tuned in to like, oh, I'm gonna get a good laugh on this Sunday. I'm gonna watch, you know, this mess. And then after like, I don't know, 2 drives, I was like, oh, poor guy.
Unfortunate.
He's gonna die out there. I felt bad.
Right.
Yeah, I felt bad. Let's close this out with our over under. In our prediction segment, we'll start. We're going to do 2 over-unders here. We'll do 1 Seahawks-related and 1 Jets-related. We'll start with the Seahawks-related one. Over-under on the number of negative plays Jamal Adams creates. So we'll combine picks, fumbles forced, tackles for losses included in this, and we'll include sacks. So there's a lot of opportunities there. And I'll put the over-under at 3.5. What you got?
Over. I think he's going to be playing like, just absolutely insane. I'm sure he's going to be asking Pete and the defensive staff to give him as many blitzes as possible. I'm going to go over with that one.
Yeah, Jamal's going to be playing on Sunday like you know, like if you the girl you're trying to get at walk into the gym at lunch and you hooping.
I went to an all-boys school, so this doesn't relate.
Okay, but your girl come to the game, no, and you just like, I got to get these buckets today. You do all that dribbling. You know, you do everything. You doing behind-the-back layups and everything. You just not being you.
I'll go a step further. We playing flag football. My girl show up. Oh, I need this ball right now. Yeah. I'm doing a double move. I'm going out and up. Hit me deep. I'm pulling all the flags. I'm looking to get every interception. I feel it.
Yeah, no, that's how Jamal is going to be playing.
That's what I think is going to happen too.
Yeah, he'll be playing like his girl in the stands here. And we're going to go with Sam Darnold over under as well. Passing yards for Sam. The Seahawks have actually gotten a lot better, but they just lost to Colt McCoy, so I can't really give them too much props. We'll go with 245.5 for Sam.
Ooh, that's a good number. I think I'll go slightly under. I still expect him to break like 200 yards, but once you're asking this offense to get like 250 yards plus throwing, like that's a little tough.
All right, Charles, take us out. Who's going to win this game? If the spread is 13.5, I would encourage everyone listening to stay away from that line. Give us a winner and give us a score.
I'm going to go Seattle. Like you said, that spread is a little high, but you know, I think I'll go 23-13 Seattle.
There we go. A double-digit win. I mean, I don't know how good Seattle fans would feel about only putting up 23 against the Jets, but that sounds about right. Listen, guys, do not bet that. It's a bad line. Stay away from 13.5. Those are not the type of lines you take. That's Charles McDonald, senior writer for The Win at USA Today. Man, Charles, thank you so much for hopping on. Make sure you guys please go follow Charles on Twitter, man. It's an experience for several reasons. So it's at 4verts. Please do. Charles, are you verified?
No, I'm not. You know, that's an off-air story. I was messing around online, and I'll say it, whatever. But when I was working at SB Nation, we had to get verified, and we had to fill these applications. And I was like, I wonder how serious Twitter would take this. So like, I put down all the sites I work for, you know, SB Nation, Bleacher Report, and then for my last one, I was messing around. I put X Videos, like that porn site.
Oh.
And yo, like they Twitter hit me up. They were like, we can't find any verification that you have worked at X Videos before, so you can't, your application to get verified has been denied. So ever since then, I'm holding out a vendetta against them. Like, they can't take a joke, then I don't want any part of it.
Wow, that is legendary.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm glad you told. Oh man, that's, well, I always try to get, I'm campaigning to get Chris verified because he's not verified either, and usually our guest is, but this is probably the most unique circumstance in the world in which our guest is not. But either way, make sure you guys go follow all Charles's work, man. He really knows ball, man. I know we joked about Greg Williams and stuff today, but man, he knows ball, man. He does. Make sure you guys go follow all of his work. We will catch you guys on our next episode after the Seahawks hopefully beat the Jets on Sunday. Until then, we're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.